to tell you about my sermon. It's when you feel like giving up. So if you get out your notes and open up your bulletin, get out your notes, open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4. I just want you to circle that feeling part. When you feel like giving up, circle that. Because what that means is if you're feeling like giving up, you're on the threshold of giving up. You've let too many things go too far, and you're already at that door, and you're just a hop, skip, and a jump for going over and giving up. So that's really about what the sermon today is. It's about discouragement. When the setback or disappointment in your life becomes so great, Jeffrey did a great job last week about Joseph. Joseph had 7 setbacks before he finally had a comeback. And I think that's what we got to realize today is we get these setbacks, these disappointments, and sometimes you have a day of them, a week of them, a month of them, a year of them, maybe even 5 years of these disappointments and setbacks. And it's really hard that when a comeback comes to even come back. When you're that disappointed, when you're that discouraged, right? And so this is kind of where I want to pick up in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a great story about just about how the disappointments can add up. Disappointments can add up, and you can get to that point of feeling like giving up. Now, here's something you can write in your notes. It's not in your notes, you can write this. That these setbacks, these disappointments, can either delay your forward progress or prevent your forward progress. And these discouragements, if in your life, if they go unchecked, if you don't deal with them, will get you right to the point. So let me first pray. Father God, thank you so much for saving me. Thank you so much for these things that you do. Lord, you know the hurts and the habits. Lord, you know the pain. Lord, you know this message and how it was prepared in advance. Lord, I just ask right now for your community that each one takes something that you need them to take. But most importantly, God, I just ask to remove anything that you need. Lord, I've worked this thing out and you've helped me.
Wall half built. Look at that. His balloon would be
trouble just begins, Gary. I hate to tell you, no, it's halfway done. Look, it's halfway done. It's so exciting. And I'd be like, Gary, this is when it gets done. And I'm sorry, it's not halfway done. This is right now, you did the easy part. Now the tough part comes in. And anybody have something like me in your life? Where you're totally positive, you're totally happy, and then this wet blanket comes along and covers you up. Pops your balloon, spits in your face, and drags you down. Ask my wife. This is her entire life, right? This is her entire marriage with me. I'm a wet blanket. She's all excited about going to Disneyland. I'm not excited about going to Disneyland. I just make it miserable. So, because in the reality thing, here's the truth with me. I'm a realist, and that's a joke. There's no such thing. Because a realist is a negative person. And here I am preaching a sermon about me. I can't be negative. You can't be negative. You can't stay negative. You can't have thought. Gary's all excited. The wall's half built. I come along and say, we're just now having to start. Because now we have to put scaffolding up there. And now the workers are going to be doubled. Because now we have to get this stone to that guy. And that guy has that stone to that guy. And then it doesn't end there, Gary. It doesn't end there. Now we have to do another layer of scaffolding. There has to be two people up there. And oh my gosh. So this is Nehemiah's story. The negativity. How's that? How's your disappointment part going? How's that discouragement part going? How is that going for you? Because it didn't really go well. Pick up and get out your outline. So we rebuilt the wall, which was rebuilt to about half its original height. And let me tell you, if discouragement is going to come in, it's not going to come in at the beginning of a project or at the end of a project. I'm a contractor. I can tell you, when you break ground, it's the exciting moment, most exciting moment of your life. And when you're handing the keys over to them, that's the second most exciting moment in your life. But the halfway point of that project, where disappointment after disappointment, collapse and failure and all that junk and discouragement is hung in a muck, that's when you blow up. Right? Rick Warren said it like this. He goes, it's like rowing a boat. You're trying to leave Oahu and you're trying to go to Maui. And I love it. He says, you don't get discouraged when you can still see Oahu. Oh, is that just it? And you can still see that place. And he goes, you don't get discouraged when you can see Maui in the distance. He goes, you're discouraged when you can't see either place. And that's what happens with us. That's what happens with Nehemiah's people. They found themselves in such a dark place. They went with that bi-hatchet circle feeling. When you're feeling like giving up, you've let it go too far. And you've gone way too far without getting help. Built the wall, which was rebuilt about half its original height. The people worked with determination. When Sambalat, Tobiah, the Arab, right, the people of Ashdod, heard that the repair work on the walls of Jerusalem was making progress and that the gaps were being filled in, they became furious. All of them plotted to attack Jerusalem. Right there, from when it says Sambalat all the way to where it says to create confusion, I would put a big box around all that right there, and then right next to it, I would write this: Satan will distract you with discouragement. I mean, this is all Satan right here. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. When you're doing God's work, when you're doing something that's right, Satan's going to rear his ugly head and distract you with so much discouragement that you will not do his work anymore. This whole sermon is about unchecked. But we pray to our God and set up guards to protect us day and night. I would underline all that because that's what you need to do. Then the people of Judah said, the work crews are worn out, circle that. There is too much rubble, circle too much rubble. We can't continue, circle that, to rebuild this wall. Our enemies, there's Satan, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Before they know what is right, before they know what is happening or see a thing, we will be right in the middle of them. We will kill them and bring the work to an end. Jews living near, I would circle that, our enemies warned us 10 times that our enemies would attack us from every direction. That is why I positioned people by their families behind the wall where it was the lowest, I would underline that, and most exposed. The people were armed with swords and spears and bows, and I looked them over and proceeded to tell the nobles and the leaders and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of your enemies. Every day, every Sunday, Gary preaches the message that is telling you, do not be afraid of enemies. Sometimes that enemy is Jesus. And Nehemiah is looking the people over and he is telling them, it looks bad, it sounds bad, but with God it is not bad. The people were armed with swords, spears, and bows, and I looked them over and proceeded to tell the nobles and the leaders and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of our enemies. Remember, I would circle that, how great and awe-inspiring the Lord is. I would underline all of that. Fight, I would circle that, for your brothers and your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home. Nehemiah 4, 6. Nehemiah gives us four common discouragement areas that we need to watch out. So if you look over your outlines, let's go over. The first one, the first common discouragement issue is this. When something takes longer than I expected, I can get fatigued. Man, and I'm telling you, when you are exhausted, when you are tired, you cannot think straight. Nehemiah 4:10 says this, the people of Judah said, and that's you, not just the people of Judah, it's you. You say this, I am tired. The work crews are worn out. You're telling God, I am tired. I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. If you have ever tried to build anything, do anything, and you are exhausted, you will find yourself in the middle of the biggest discouragement in your life. As a builder, as a trim carpenter, my partner trained me in this. I was tired one day. I was exhausted for whatever reason, probably my depression and anxiety. And I went to cut a piece of board, and I measured it out. Measured it up. Remember the whole adage, measure twice, cut once? I measured it. I measured the board. I measured it again, 181 inches. I measured the board, make my mark, make my cut, and go to put it up. And I cut it at 118 inches. Anybody? Now I hear you laughing. No, it's so true. You don't want to do anything exhausting. You've got to do your books. You don't want to do your bookkeeping when you're tired. Right? You'll find yourself, well, is it the red or black you want to be? You, black. Man, I'd want to be in the red. Don't let me do your finances because I'd put you all in the red. Red is where I want to be. Black? Really? Seriously? That sounds so wrong. So that's kind of true. Want to find yourself, don't do it when you're tired. You won't be able to figure anything out. See, when you're tired, you will struggle relationally. You will make bad decisions financially. You will struggle physically. It'll hit you mentally and then ultimately affect you spiritually. You cannot be fatigued. You'll be exhausted. You'll make mistakes. And listen, lately, here's what's been happening to me for the last couple of months. Let's make it about me. All about them. I've had this anxiety issue. I've been getting up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and I can't sleep, and I'm pacing back and forth, and I'm eating stuff out of the refrigerator. Don't care about that. That's just not good. And I, you know, you do that for a week, and I'm telling you, I was not on the list. Was I? Okay, my wife's shaking her head. No, I was not on the list. When you are exhausted, it will affect your behavior. You have got to look out for when you are tired. Deuteronomy 25:18 says it like this. This is in the Old Testament. They attacked you when you were tired and exhausted. I would circle tired and exhausted. And killed all those who were lagging behind. I would underline that. Because they weren't of God. This is Israel. They were leaving Egypt. And the Amalekites came from behind them. And those who were lagging and exhausted and tired were killed. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to distract you so much with fatigue. He wants to knock you so backwards with exhaustion that you lag behind. You lag behind in reading God's word. You lag behind praying. You lag behind in being committed to church or finding that Christian support group in church. And Satan kills. And in fact, what his motto is to steal, kill, and destroy. And what that simply says is he wants to rip off your arm and beat you with the bloody stuff. and then he'll beat you up, tear you down, and spit you out. Number two. When something is more complicated than I expect, I can get frustrated. And this whole sermon is about when something is more complicated than I expected. See, we have all these failed expectations. We go into a building project, or I have gone into a building project. It's like, this is easy. This is a slam dunk. We're going to be able to get this thing out, knock it out, and be done. And no, only to find some complicated mess, something that we didn't foresee. We have this clause in our contract, unforeseen occurrences. Those are situations that you cannot foresee. So I have a clause in my contract saying, I have not seen that. I've only seen what I see. I only know what I know, and that's my contract is based on that. If I open up a wall and there's a dead body in there, I can't see that. If I cut open the floor and there's a gas, I don't know that. Right? That's this. When it becomes so complicated that it messes things up, Nehemiah 4:10 goes on. The people of Judah, this is you. Again, the work crews are tired. I am worn out. I am exhausted, God. And he goes on and says, and there was too much rubble. God, it's too complicated. God, I'm tired. God, this is too complicated. I didn't think I had to go through this. I didn't think this thing in my life was going to come up, and then I would have to go through this. Now my life is complicated. I thought it was going to be easier as I got later on in my life. I thought it was going to be easier. It's not. It'd be just as you come. And I love Nehemiah's story here as it's talking about this debris field. See, now when God allowed this building to be built, there was two old buildings here that were built in the 30s and 40s, I believe. And they were just filled with hazardous materials. So we couldn't rebuild them. We couldn't reuse them. We actually had to build them. Now just imagine, you've seen this church, and you've seen that parking lot. We have built 100% of our church. Now could you imagine if I would have demoed those buildings, excavated all the ground, and pushed the debris pile right in the middle, and then tried to build the building? That would be frustrating. Who does that? Construction debris multiplies without you even seeing it. Anybody watch your garbage multiply? It's like you go tonight, your garbage can's half full, and then you get up in the morning, it's overflowing. It's like, how does that happen? Debris does that, right? And so Nehemiah's talking about they built this wall halfway, and now we have this debris piles, and I'm thinking as a contractor going, okay, first of all, Nehemiah, your first mistake was allowing your builders, your guys, to build the wall with the rubble on the inside. I'm thinking, push the rubble on the outside, build your wall so the inside is clean, because that's what a contractor would do. Nehemiah, what are you thinking? It's not about just the debris piles that are just broken down buildings, or piles of dirt, or rubble. Sometimes those debris piles are passing through. You have not dealt with it. Sometimes those debris piles are emotional scars or physical scars. It could have been abuses, sexual, physical, mental abuses. It could be addictions that you're recovering from. It could be some sort of a desperation. In other words, if some past experience that you haven't dealt with is changing your present state, that's what you're doing. And then I'm thinking about Nehemiah and this wall and what that actually means. It's like, if we deal with these walls, sometimes as humans, we have this ability to compartmentalize our mind. And here's what I know about you, because it's true about me. And I know this about you. You already know about your debris pile. In fact, some of you are probably writing them down right now, or thinking about your debris pile right now. And you should write that down. And here's what I know. Sometimes we will build a wall so we can't see that debris pile. Sometimes we build that wall and it's avoiding it. I'm pretending it's not there. I'm going to blame someone else for it. That's a wall. You can have a wall of blame. You can have a wall of excuses. Make every excuse known to man. Not to deal with it. Not to go there. When I went to counseling for the first time, and the counselor said, this was a professional counselor, he said, Dan, do you want to get better? I said, well, yeah, of course I want to get better. I don't think that's a problem. But, okay, I want to get better. Well, then you have to go back to the past. Well, I don't want to go back to the past. I want to get better. Yes. life to get better. Well, then you have to go back to the past. I'm 30-something years old. I don't want to go back to the past. The past has no control over me. And he says, that's your problem. Yes, it does. Because you haven't dealt with it. You have a wall. You're pretending it's not there. But here's what's happening. You go throughout your life and it affects you. It changes your direction. It changes your walk with God. It affects your reading. It affects your closeness to Him. And it'll affect you, infect you, infect you until you're useless. Let me ask you, do you want to get better? Raise your hand. If you want to get better, then face the past. Face that debris pile. See, there's some of us that even will say, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. It's got to be all them. I was that guy. And here's what I know about you who feel that way. You're wrong. Because it is something you need to do. And you don't have it all. And your life isn't perfect. And I don't care how many degrees you have or how much life you've lived or whatever it is, you do not have this figured out. God has it figured out. Because I know that about me. So I know that about you. So when something is more complicated than I expected, I can get frustrated. You've got to deal with that debris in your life. David says this in Psalm 25:16. Come and show me your mercy. For I am helpless, I would circle that. Overwhelmed, I would circle that. And I would put a bunch of underlines under deep distress. And how many of you have felt helpless, overwhelmed, and in deep distress? See, Satan, this is exactly Satan's MO. The minute you start going back to church or start praying again or start reading God's word, doubt, desperation, discouragement. And I know that about me. Because I know that about me. Number three. When I am fatigued, you can see how this is building. When I am fatigued and I'm frustrated, I can doubt my own abilities and start to feel like a failure. See, this all builds. See, it's one thing just to be fatigued. It's another thing to be completely graded because of complications. But it's quite another thing to be fatigued, frustrated, because now you're going to feel like a failure. Then the people of Judah, this is 4:10 goes on, then the people of Judah said, this is you, I am tired, God. I am worn out, God. There is too much debris in my life, God. I can't continue, or he says, I can't continue to build this wall. They did the easy part, halfway up. Let me just tell you, this is going to shock you. Walls aren't built from the top down. Walls are built from the foundation up. And if it's halfway up, you did the easy work. Positive and negative me comes into play. Now it gets tough. Now it gets tough. The action is on you. The requirement is on you. All the planning is to continue that wall. You cannot allow those negative thoughts like I do. See, this is when you feel like a failure, this is what happens to me. When my depression is at its worst and my anxiety has overrun me and I'm not getting enough sleep and I am fatigued and I am frustrated and I start to feel like a failure, this is what happens to me, and I know this is what happens to you because it happens to me. I start saying I'm worthless. I start saying things I start believing that I'm not any good at anything. As I was writing this sermon, I'm like, God, I have never been to seminary. I've never been to college. Seriously, I'm the last person that should preach to these people. I'm more jacked up than they are. How could I do anything for them? How could I do anything? And I'm tying God's hands. And I'm tying God's hands. And if you do the same, the power of God's hands in your life by all the failure mechanisms. By saying you can't. You're dumb. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You screwed up so much, there's no way your life can get better. And you have just discounted every story in all of God's word. Because it's simply not true. If you find yourself feeling that you are in the grips of Satan, what I want you to do. Take your hands and hold your seats, each side of your seat. Take your hands right now and grab the hold of your seats. Hold on, because you're going to fall out of your seats when you hear this. Everybody holding on? I don't see you holding on. Grab a hold of your chair. Grab hold. I don't want you to get hurt. We got liability problems. I don't want to get sued. Everybody holding on? Okay. It's so much better to give God power over your life than Satan. I don't think anybody has ever said that. Is that not the weirdest thing? That you have the ability? You can let go of the chief mountain. That was really a really bad ride. Like, well, this is going to be great. And then it was really pointless. No, it was good. It was good. It made a good point. Because we can give God all the power over our lives if we just take the power from Satan. And you're like, yeah, how do we give power from Satan? Well, when you think that you're a failure, when you play into your fatigue, when you play into your frustration, you're giving all the strength, all the power to Satan to manipulate you, to control you, and to drive you into the dirt. Because here's the truth about setbacks. Setbacks, these disappointments, you might want to write this down. Disappointments are inevitable. Disappointments are inevitable. That means they're going to happen. They're common, they're reoccurring, and they're going to happen over and over again, and they're deadly. But discouragement comes. But it's your choice to how long you stay discouraged and how discouragement has control over you. Because discouragement comes with disappointment, but if you are God's and God is with you, then discouragement has no power over you. Your frustration, your fatigue, your failure will have no power over you because you've given the power to God. You've taken it from Satan. Amen? Proverbs 24:16 says this, the godly may 7 times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. This is David speaking. And here's my point. If you can give Satan the power to make you feel like the wicked, not feel like a wicked person, but actually allow one disaster to come into your life and completely over. Has something like that happened to you? Has something, one event. Now, I've been through lawsuits. Anybody been through a lawsuit? Don't raise your hand. Lawsuits are horrible. You do not want to go through a lawsuit. You do not want to have someone sue you. You don't want to deal with lawyers and all that junk. It is horrible. It is horrible. And I pray that none of you have to deal with it. But that is just, those kind of things can overthrow you. But I've heard stories. Talk to Vaughn. Now I'm getting emotional. Talk to him. He'll tell you about the power of God. And you do not have to have one thing come into your life that will control the manipulation. That will not happen. Number 4. When I am fatigued, and again, we're building. When I am fatigued, when I'm frustrated, and I'm feeling like a failure, this will make my fear grow stronger. This fear is different than failure. See, failure is an internal mechanism within me. That's self-doubt. And it deals with, I'm not good enough. I'm not able. Where fear comes into play, and it's the opposition. Where you start reading into things that make you feel like you are. Nehemiah 4:10 through 12 says this. The work crews are worn out. There is too much rubble, and we can't continue to rebuild this wall. Our enemy said, before they know what is happening, we will be right in the middle of them. We'll kill them and bring the work to an end. Jews who were living near our enemy warned us 10 times that our enemies would attack us from every direction. See those voices, that Facebook. Have you ever been on Facebook and read something that totally knotted you up and didn't you couldn't let go. And it stayed with you after day after day after day. Because it has that voice, that negative thing. Or somebody said something and you took it the wrong way. And you rolled with it. See, this is fear, the voice of opposition. This is when distracting discouragement comes into play. Because now it's not just inside you, it's outside of you. Paul says it like this, so we can be sure when we say, I will not be afraid because the Lord is my helper. People cannot do anything to me. I'm telling you right now, if political stuff is getting on your nerves, turn off your TV. If Facebook is getting off your nerves, delete it. If a past experience, if it's junk, whatever it may be, try to the best of your ability to get out from underneath it. Delete Facebook, turn off the TV, and get focused on God. You can't find a better place to be than in His Word, praying, getting with a bodily body of believers, and getting fire for God. There is nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing like God moving inside of you. There is nothing like the power and authority inside of you. And I'm telling you right now, today, if you don't know Jesus, this is the part where you need to come know Jesus. Because you've walked into that door without knowing Jesus, you need to walk out that door with knowing Jesus. Because the world wants to steal, kill, and destroy you politically, relationally, mentally, physically, emotionally, and it'll kill you spiritually. And God says, no, you are mine. You need, if you are walking with God, and you need to rededicate your life, now's the day to do it. Don't walk out that door unless you rededicate your life. You come in with discouragement. You come in with disappointment. You come in fatigued, frustrated, failing, and fearing. And you do not leave this place that way. God has come in here to give you freedom. And it's free. It's free. Don't leave without taking that freedom. It's a free gift with no strings. Jesus did anything and everything that needed to be done.
Mind is cluttered. You cannot walk closely with God.
so you need to reorganize in the weak areas of your life. And here is what I know about you. You already know the weak areas of your life. And let me give you some examples. If you've got a porn addiction problem, you don't go lock yourself in the office with your computer. If you've got an overeating problem, you don't get up in the middle of the night and raid your refrigerator. If you've got this overstressing, overwhelming, completely life-destroying attitude about you, like me, because you're negative, right? You don't want to find yourself on the pity pot alone. You want to get to the bottom. If you've got a problem with addiction, right? An alcoholic should not go to a bar to watch a sport game. Right? Don't do that. That's not a smart thing to do. If you're a recovering drug addict, you don't hang out with your old buddies. You just simply don't do that. And you, weaknesses, you know your areas where you need to strengthen. And here's what I know about you, because I know it about me, is you know how to reorganize your life. To put barriers and guardrails to protect you from these areas. So reorganize to strengthen. Nehemiah 4:13 says this: that is why I position people by their family, behind the wall where it was the lowest and most exposed. You have low areas in your life and you are exposed. You have areas in your life that you need to let God's word and God's people help you to protect. And he says, I station them, I position them by their families. You need the body of Christ. You need a Christian death. You need this church family to come around you and encourage you and love upon you. That's what he's saying. Everything that you need, you have right here. You just have to be willing to admit it and to ask for help. And I think that's our biggest problem. We admit it, but we just find it hard to ask for help. Or maybe we can ask for help, but we keep asking for help because we just need to admit it. Amen? So, suffer all these decisions. afraid of your enemies. Remember, circle that. Remember how great and awe-inspiring God is. Your Lord is. He is great. He is mighty. And here's what I know about you, because I know this about me. Place them up, write on them. Remember how awe-inspiring and good God has already been in your life. And if He's already been that way, He's going to be that way now. And He's going to be that way in the future. Because God never changes. You do. God does not need to change. You need to change. That's discouraged, inevitable, but disappointments are inevitable, but discouragement is your choice. It's your choice to change that. Resubmit your life back to God. Show me the way back home. Show me, God, how to surrender, how to let go. My Show me the way back home, God, how to turn off the television, how to turn off Facebook, and how to turn in. Show me way, God, how to read your word and draw close to you, how to pray like I've never prayed before. James, I love the book of James, because James, they talk about him, like his knees were like camel's knees. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. No, it's because he prayed so much, his knees were calloused, and they looked like the knees of camel. And that's what you need to be. You need to pray like that, on your knees. Your mind needs to be surrendered upon God. You're dependent upon God and not giving power to Satan. Amen. Brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. This is not a playground, this is a battleground. This is spiritual warfare. This is no joke. Your depression is no joke, your anxiety is no joke, your past is no joke, so don't treat it like one. Satan uses all those things against you, and you can turn and take the power of Satan by giving them to God. And here's what I know about warfare. I read the art of war. That's what you do. And there's one thing about the art of war. It's knowing when the fight is not your fight. And that's what God's word tells you all the time. Is you got to know when your fight is not your fight. It's God's fight. It's always been His fight. God goes before, fights for you, and leads the way. God has your back as He fights off the devil's schemes and his flaming arrows. That's the spiritual armor. It's God, not armor. It's God. God goes before you. God goes behind you. God walks with you and encouraging you, loving you, and strengthening you along the way. And God picks you up when you're weak. God picks you up and carries you. And some days you just don't even realize that He's carrying you. And that's what He's done, because it's God. Don't leave this place today without knowing God. Don't leave this place without trying to rededicate and make your life purposeful for God. Don't leave this place depressed and having depression control you, or anxiety manipulate you, or Satan's lies deceive you. Don't leave this place. Take the power away from Satan. Give it back to God and leave here for Him. Amen? child to die. Give me life as you have promised. And David's at his wit's end. He's weak. He's beat up. He's fatigued. He's frustrated. He's failing. He's fearing. And God is, and he's begging God, don't. I'm about to die. God, don't let me die. And how many of us have prayed that prayer in some fashion, in some way, like David? Don't let me die. Give me life as you have promised. Life of freedom. That's what God promises you. And here's what happens about God. Those half-built walls that you use to hide those disagreed lines. Those half-built walls that you built to avoid and to run from and to blame others for, those half-built walls, when you trust God, God re-fortifies those half-built walls.
I shall lift you up in your discouragement. I
I shall lift you up out of the pit. I shall redeem you.